In your face. Joined by Patrick Livesey, who co-stars with Mary Helen Sassman in a TheatreWorks production of The Machine Stops, an adaptation of the novella by E.M. Foster. Patrick, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, James.
It is so good to hear your voice. I just love all the productions you're doing, and we're really thrilled to be able to talk about this because The Machine Stops was written a very long time ago, but it really encapsulates the era that we're in. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. So Bryony Dunn has done an adaptation of E.M. Forster's novel from 1909. And it's the only sci-fi, it's a novella, it's the only sci-fi novella E.M. Forster ever wrote. Obviously, he's known for more class concerns and those really classic British novels. But this is a sci-fi set in the distant future where all of humanity lives underground and is connected by what's called the machine, which is basically just an AI. That makes life super convenient for everyone. Everyone's connected through instant messaging and video calls. And life is so comfortable that you never have to leave your room, and everyone lives in their own little room. And life is just super blissful. Everyone's taken care of, and human interaction has kind of dwindled down to what is digital, and everyone has lost physical contact. And so the story takes place in the midst of that world, and you've got Mary Helen's character who begins to sense that things are unraveling.
And tell us about your character.
So my character, I play the child of Mary Helen's character, and I am a natural rebel, and I've got this instinct within me to move my body, and I can't explain where it comes from, and I try to resist it for a really long time, but eventually I succumb to this call to get out of my room, and things happen.
So it sounds like your character's indicative of a whole generation that never really leaves their room, and so when you do leave it, it's kind of like a baby taking its first steps.
Yeah, that's what I thought was so kind of magical from a performance perspective, is to try and capture what it is to be that person experiencing the outside world for the first time and experiencing their body and feeling what it is to move and to have chemicals flowing that come from movement. It made me think of films like The Truman Show or Encino Man, where this character is like a baby in the face of a world that we would find quite familiar. So I just thought that was an exciting challenge.
So the reason why people don't leave their rooms is because of the technology and because things are so comfortable. There hasn't been like, you know, a pandemic or a nuclear disaster or anything.
No, that's what's so interesting about what E.M. Forster wrote is nothing that we understand and nothing that Bryony has put in that suggests that some tragedy has happened or some widespread disaster, like you said. It's just over hundreds, thousands of years, comfort and ease have led people to this incredibly isolated life. It's kind of like the second half of the film Wall-E from a few years ago.
So does the play really shine a light on some darkness? I mean, if people are in their rooms and never really leaving, is there kind of an underbelly to that?
There is, but it's really unspoken, and that's why I really hope the audiences come and see the play. Is it's so fantastic to be dealing with a work about the future and that has themes of the AI future without pitching it as us versus them, them being technology, so it, rather. It's dealing with what happens to humans in amongst that, and what is the cost and consequence on our bodies and on our physical interactions and relationships. So it's really great that it would definitely fall into dystopian fiction, but it's not Terminator, it's not 2001, HAL isn't turning against us. It's just this slow descent into kind of living these really isolated and sedentary lives, which I feel like most of us can probably relate to.
And how fascinating for you as an actor to play the character that physically kind of starts moving. you know, against that inertia.
Yeah, I feel really lucky. It's just such a great challenge, and there's just some beautiful language that Bryony has written to describe that experience, and I'm, yeah, really looking forward to being able to share that with people.
So what's the biggest challenge about this production? If there is all that unspoken stuff, is the challenge kind of, you know, being able to convey what it means that isn't spoken?
I think for me, I mean, I won't lie, it's a pretty dream play to be working on, and Bryony and Mary Helen are just such fantastic collaborators. So there haven't been all that many challenges per se. It's just been such a joy to be working with them. But I think for me, it's my first time doing sci-fi, doing kind of a heavy genre play. And so the challenge for me is, how do I hold all of that in my body for the audience to read? I mean, they have to get from me and Mary Helen that this is thousands of years in the future, that we don't know what it is to move our bodies, that the first time we move our body is this incredible, astonishing, revelatory act, and that's all really to be conveyed through our words and our behaviour. So to be able to convey that to an audience is definitely the thing that I'm most daunted by, but also the thing I'm relishing the most.
Wow. So you're really kind of, you know, training your body. How is this affecting your body? Because you're so in tune with yourself and you're so in tune with your craft and your topic. How's it affecting you physically?
I'm pretty lucky because I get to play the character that has stretched themselves. So by the time that you meet me in the play, I've been walking around for a little while now. So I get to be a little bit similar to what we might know, just with a few quirks. I think Mary Helen's really got the tough ask because we're meeting her right in the midst of this kind of slug-like existence. So her transformation is really exciting, and I'm not envious of it at all.
Are people depressed? Like, if we're living in an era where people don't really leave their houses and they experience this physical inertia, which we can all relate to because so many of us are kind of doing that now.
Mm.
But, yeah.
It's interesting. The play, and this is a question we have to ask ourselves continually in the room, is this is not a play that takes place in 100 years. It takes place in thousands of years. And so this maybe in 100 years, now so many people are experiencing mental health issues because of lack of movement, lack of connection. That's the world we live in now. But this is eon's time, and so I think the concept of being depressed is actually quite foreign to the characters. They're really, everything is taken care of, and all their needs and all their health and fitness needs are taken care of by the machine. Everything's monitored, and you're kind of kept in this beautifully is maybe the wrong word, but perfectly docile state. There's nothing to worry about, you're never hungry, you're never tired, whereas I guess the flip on that is my character just has this niggling feeling in the back of their mind. And so maybe that's the closest thing to a depression, but it's this kind of restless curiosity that I believe has caused them a lot of suffering until the moment they decide to do something about it.
And how is your character created? I mean, if people aren't leaving their houses, if they're not meeting, if they're not engaging in physical activity, how are children created, you know, in thousands of years in this dystopian?
Oh, it's such a good question. So there is some world building there that I don't want to give away too much because we do touch upon it, but basically you can apply to be a parent, and there is a consummation kind of scheduled by the machine, but it's entirely kind of robotic in its nature. You do the deed and then go your separate ways.
So AI is God?
It's such an interesting question, isn't it? That's what the play is about, and we really touch upon it. So I don't want to say too much, but I think that is what will be evoked for the audience for sure. I think that's maybe a similar kind of comparison we have to current day schools of thinking, but this idea of AI becoming like an omnipotent deity is definitely within the work. Mm.
It's almost taking us back to the, you know, the dark ages where, you know, it is written, therefore it is, you know, it is law, it is God, it is, you know, it is morally right, you know, this kind of, you know, removal of ourselves by this higher being, you know, that could, you know, write things down. Now it's like AI is the new version of that, you know, controlling us and kind of telling us how we should live to the point where people can't make decisions without it.
Yeah, and I that's definitely, such a beautiful way of putting it. What I love about Bryony's approach, and I think what E.M. Forster had in the original novella, is genuinely grappling with what it is to be a human in the face of all of that. And it's, like I said before, it's not trying to paint AI as having kind of a menacing edge or an eye to unraveling what humanity is, but rather it's what we give over in the face of all of that. I think that's really relatable.
And how old? How old is the child that you are in the play, in The Machine Stops?
Well, our ages are kind of tricky to define, but I would say in our current terms, human terms, probably 20s, 30s.
Wow, okay. So what's the relationship like between this child and the character played by Mary Helen Sassman, the mother?
It's pretty different to what we might think of as a mother-child relationship, because the relationships in this world are so remote. It's what we get to really have fun with is what is it for two people who know that they should feel some type of way about one another but have never seen each other or haven't seen each other for many, many years. What is it for them to suddenly share space, and what is that invisible thread that still connects them?
Wow, so people are not just disconnected from, you know, other communities and other families. They're disconnected from their own flesh and blood, even their own child in this dystopian world.
The idea of family is completely eradicated because it means nothing. A family member is, you know, just as important to you as a stranger on the street, because everyone kind of has this equal connection, equal communication. But for us, there's something else. There's something else pulling us together, and that's what we get to explore.
Well, The Machine Stops is happening at Theatre Works the 22nd of August to the 30th, directed by the amazing Bryony Dunn. Patrick Livesey, it is so good to hear your voice.
Oh, you too, James.
It's just so wonderful what you're doing. I mean, how many plays have you done in the last couple of years? Lots.
Many, yes, and I'm very grateful to be doing another.
Fantastic. Great to hear your voice. Can't wait to hear more about The Machine Stops and to see it. Patrick Livesey, thank you so much for joining us today on 3CR.
Take care. Bye.
3CR. In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ+ communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.